Why don't we watch this video first? Last week we began our look at this confession, this creed, this statement of faith, of our Christian faith in earnest. We began looking at it. It's been around for, at least in part, for about, since the second century. And it's pretty much timeless in that it still holds our Christian values today. And last week we looked at the words, I believe. And when we looked at the words, I believe, we are setting ourselves up for the entire creed. Because what we're saying is, when we say, I believe, essentially is this, is that what the following statements are going to be are the truth. Absolute truth that is found through Scripture, based on Scripture. That everything that follows, I believe, is what is found in Scripture, is the truth that is given to us through Almighty God. And today, we're looking at God the Father Almighty. And you may think, well, hang on a minute. We're looking at God the Father Almighty. That's it? That's all? And I go, yeah, that's it. That's all. Because this bears us to stop for a minute and to look at exactly what we're saying when we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. The idea of God being Father is a monumental idea. The idea of God being Father, and it stems out of the Jewish religion. Out of Judaism. God being Father is first found way back in Exodus chapter 4. When Moses has gone to Pharaoh and he has stood in front of Pharaoh for the very first time, and in Exodus chapter 4, verses 22, where Moses says, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn. Let my firstborn go. Right away, God identifies Israel as his child, as his children. And as he identifies this concept of him being father, we are seeing how that relationship is begun, that God is father, and that it's that God is not just this entity that came in and caused everything to happen and then went away. God is not some deity who just sort of made things work and then is gone. God isn't distant. God isn't apathetic. He cares. God isn't someone who just turns his back on us. God is Father, and Father in the perfect sense. And I say that because many of us have a skewed idea of what Father is. Because, well, face it, we're sinful. Sin-filled, we are affected by sin. And yet, God calls himself Father. Of course, that stemmed from the Jewish nation, from Judaism right then, goes on through when we were looking at church camping, we were looking at the tabernacle, and God made himself a place to live amongst his people. He wanted to be with his people, and the only way to be with his people was through the tabernacle. And later on, the temple became that more permanent place where God could live with his people. And after Jesus came into the scene as Son of God, of course, and lived with us for a while, that's what Jesus' name means, God with us, he showed us a new type of intimacy that we could be with God even more. And after Jesus died, forgiving our sins and went back to heaven, he sent who? The Holy Spirit to live within us, creating a new intimacy, totally new, that now God himself lives within us. This stems from God the Father. This intimacy that Almighty God wants to live with his people, wants to be intimate with them. And yet, we have a problem with that sometimes, because of the sin of the fathers that we know, maybe. No earthly father is perfect. And many fathers have taken, haven't been godly towards their families. Many families have suffered because of the fathers that live within them. And we recognize that. And so we don't want to tarnish the Father, God the Father's good name, with sin, because God is perfect, of course. What do fathers do? Fathers provide. Fathers protect. Fathers live with. Fathers nourish. Fathers also lavish good things upon their children and their families. And the perfect God the Father Almighty, does all these things, not only for the Jewish nation, but also for Christianity, because we call him Father. These two are the Judeo-Christian view of God as Father. From all the accounts that I can think of, are the only two in which God is that relational with his people. If you study Islam, Allah is not that God. Allah is a God who is up here and the people are down here. And you'd better be right in Allah's eyes, or you may suffer. Allah will bless, but Allah is not your father. There is no other religion. Buddhism, Hinduism has many gods. And I'm not seeing any other religion, earthly religion, that has God as father. And yet, we look upon this relational God and we go, we don't understand totally. We don't understand the perfection. We don't understand all the gifts that come along with God as being Father. But we know what they should look like. Maybe it's because we have a skewed view because of sin. But we know without a doubt that God the Father Almighty is what we profess. And we proclaim that. I'll need to go to my notes for a minute. When we say God the Father Almighty, we are talking about who God is. Who is God? Well, He's Father. There is a growing emphasis these days on political correctness, as we know. We struggle with that sometimes, our political correctness. We have problems because, mainly and partially, granted, because of fathers. Because the maleness of the patriarchy, I guess, of our societies, or the persistence of patriarchy in our societies has given way now. And we are not, it doesn't work anymore in our culture. And because it doesn't work in our culture, we have gone to, and because of the rise of feminism, we are now seeing a society that has shifted towards a neutrality. Which is not a bad thing necessarily, I'm not denouncing that. When I was in seminary, I was told that I have to use inclusive language, so I need to say, okay, you have to say the words him and her all the time if you're talking about a story, you know, where it's applicable, as not to offend. And there's nothing wrong with that in the human sense. When we're talking about humanity. In fact, inclusiveness has pretty much infiltrated our every core being, our core being, in the sense that it's now in our Bibles. Political correctness has entered into our Bibles. It is in, and if you take a look at the 2011 NIV, which is in your pews right now, you'll see that there's a big difference between the 2011 and this 1979 versions of your NIV Bibles, if you still have one, or the 1984 NIV Bibles, if you have one of those. So that in Matthew 4, verse 4, where it says, man shall not live by bread alone, it may not be that way in more recent translations. It may be people should not live by bread alone, or one should not live by bread alone. I think in your pew Bibles, it does say, man shall not live by bread alone. But man here used to be translated in our minds as humankind. But no longer is that the case. It is now translated in that fashion. And that's good for humanity's sake. The problem is that this is being elevated when we talk about God now. This type of language, this type of verbiage is being talked about, is being addressed when we talk about God. And so the name for God, or the names for the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are being replaced with Creator, Redeemer, and Helper. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, you're sort of splitting hairs here. And I'm going to explain why this is a problem. When we say that Father is Creator, when we say that the Son is Redeemer, when we say that the Holy Spirit is Helper, we are not saying that it's anything really wrong. They're not wrong descriptions, but they're not talking about who God is. Rather, they're talking about what God does. And when we're talking about what God does, we have to qualify that as what God does for whom. So in other words, God is Creator of us, which is a wonderful and almighty thing, but God is Creator of us. And when we talk about Jesus the Son being a Redeemer, yes, Jesus is the Redeemer. The Son is the Redeemer. But if we were to only talk about the Redeemer, we're talking about what He does, and that's only for us. Same with the Helper. Who's the Helper? Who's the Holy Spirit helping out? He's helping out us. So then suddenly, our Christian faith doesn't become about looking towards Almighty God. Instead, it focuses more upon us and what God, how God can serve us as Creator, Redeemer, and Helper. And this is a fundamental problem, because then we are not seeing God as Almighty anymore. We are seeing God as a servant for us, for our needs. Yet, and furthermore, when we say that God is a servant for us, and that we are saying that, well, when we say Creator, Redeemer, and Helper, we are not looking at the personal aspect of our Father anymore. We are separating Him from us, in essence. We are saying, you are over here, God. You are not with us here. You are our Creator, and a Creator can go in and love His creation. Yes, look what I've done. But a Creator will not be intimate with His creation as God is with us. Jesus as Redeemer, He could come in and save. That's what a Redeemer does, comes in and saves. But a Redeemer doesn't show us the way to live as Jesus does with us. And the Helper can help us to live, but God is so much more than just the Helper. He lives within us. He dwells within us. And this basic fundamental problem seems innocuous to us right now. It seems like it's no big deal. And I get it. I understand what we're talking about. I understand that this change in the language, yeah, it may offend some people, and I understand how this doesn't really seem like it's worth even talking about for us. But if we keep on using this language, and I've seen churches begin to use this language, and I've seen parachurch organizations begin to use this language, I haven't seen it in any scripture yet, but I'm assuming that it won't be long before it enters into scripture, into the original translations. If we leave this and don't address it, then future generations and new Christians all over the world will adopt it as, adopt Creator, Redeemer, and Helper as the official titles for God. God the Father Almighty is more than God the Creator. The Apostles' Creed puts it rightly when it addresses God the Father Almighty before saying Creator of heaven and earth. Because the Apostles' Creed puts who God is beforehand, before what he does. It's not instead of what he does. It's before whatever God does. We are blessed to know God the Father as our Creator, yes, but as the person who lives with us. And that is the essential need that we need to know behind God the Father Almighty today. Amen. Let's come to God in a time of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this understanding, and it may have not been very easy for us to get, God, this whole idea of the separation of the language. But we pray, Lord, that you will be with us as we discern what it means for God the Father Almighty to be the truth, to be the absolute truth of what we believe, God. And we ask for your blessing in it. And we pray, Lord, that as we work on figuring this out, that you would be in it, dear God, so that we may understand who you are more than what you do. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We'll come to God. We'll start. We'll sing a song of response. We'll sing, God of all ages, whose almighty hand. We'll stand and sing.